Testing in the House chamber, legislative day 22.
The House will come to order. Members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The sergeant at arms will close the doors. Members and visitors, please silence all electronic devices. Prayer will be offered by Olin Blessing, General Assembly and Rolling Clerk. Members in the visitors gallery will please stand for the prayer. Remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Almighty God, we thank you for this opportunity to come together this morning and participate in the legislative process. As this body continues its difficult work, please guide our legislators and help them to engage in productive and meaningful discussion. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Representative Penny is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for February 28th has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Penny moves that the journal for February 28th be approved as written. All those in favor will say aye. All those opposed, no. The ayes have it, and the journal is approved as written. Ratification of bills and resolutions, the clerk will read.
The Rolling Clerk reports the following resolution, duly ratified, properly enrolled, and prepared for presentation to the Office of the Secretary of State. House Joint Resolution 157, a joint resolution inviting His Excellency Governor Roy Cooper to address the joint session of the House of Representatives and Senate.
Introduction, bills, and resolutions, clerk will read.
Representatives Arp and Willis, House Bill 213, Indian Trail, Stallings Occupancy Tax Authorization.
Local government, if favorable, finance, if favorable, rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Representatives Rydell, Hardister, Bradford, and Cunningham, House Bill 214, add members to NC Training Standards Commission.
Judiciary 2, if favorable, rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Representatives Moss, Rydell, McNeely, and Sossaman, House Bill 215, General Assembly, In God We Trust, to display.
Appropriations, if favorable, rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Representatives Hardister, Howard, Ross, Clemens, House Bill 216, expansion of aviation sales tax exemption.
Finance, if favorable, rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Representatives Robinson, Clemens, and Willis, House Bill 217, Higher Education Savings Grant Pilot Program.
Appropriations, if favorable, rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Representatives White, Lambert, Sasser, and Cunningham, House Bill 218, the Safe, Accessible, Value Directed, and Excellent Act.
Health, if favorable, Judiciary 1, if favorable, Finance, if favorable, Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representatives Torbett, Bradford, Willis, and Sane, House Bill 219, Charter School Omnibus.
Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Representative Pickett, House Bill 220, Lansing and Jefferson County Tax Authorization.
Local government, if favorable, finance, if favorable, rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Representative Howard, House Bill 221, school calendar flexibility, Yadkin and Davie counties.
Education, K-12, if favorable, rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Representatives Cleveland, Satcher, Pless, and Goodwin, House Bill 222, no COVID-19 vaccine mandates for NC students.
Health, if favorable, education, K-12, if favorable, rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Representatives Cleveland and Rydell, House Bill 223, OSHR, various state Human Resources Act changes.
State personnel, if favorable, Judiciary 1, if favorable, rules, calendar, and operations of the House. Members, upon motion of Representative Howard of Davie County, the chair would like to extend the courtesies of the gallery to a group from Cornatzer Elementary School in Moxville County. If you all will stand, thank you all for being with us here today. Members, the Speaker anticipates having a voting session at 1 p.m. today. And if our guests in the gallery are around at 1 p.m., the chair would encourage you to come by. It may be a bit more exciting at that point than listening to me read in bills. But with that said, the chair is now going to put the body at ease, subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1, until 1 p.m. today.
On motion to the chair, Senate Bill 53, short title, Hotel Safety Issues, that bill is withdrawn from the Committee on Rules Counter Operations of the House and referred to the Committee on Judiciary 3 with a serial referral to the Committee on Rules Counter Operations of the House. Representative Sarah Stevens is recognized to send forth the Judiciary 2 Committee report. House Bill 87, DA may petition for probation modifications, favorable and re-referred. House Bill 87, being favorable, will be re-referred to the Committee on Rules Counter Operations of the House.
The House will come to order. Members, we're honored today to have a number of special guests the chair would like to recognize before we start our business. First of all, want to extend the courtesies of the gallery to a former United States Senator who's with us here today, Rick Santorum. Senator Santorum, where are you, sir? Well, he was here. It may come back. You know how Senate guys are. We're also honored to have today with us today Alan Pugh from the great county of Randolph, who is here today. Alan, where are you, sir? Good to see you today. Those of you who don't know, Alan was the general counsel to Governor Martin and also to Speaker Brubaker and also former Secretary of Public Safety. So, Alan, it's good to see you with us here today, too. On motion of the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Hardister, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to a group of fourth grade students who are here with us today from Revolution Academy. Would y'all please stand so we could welcome you? Well. We've had a number of groups come in and out, so let's see. Also on motion of the members from Guilford and Alamance, Representatives Hardister, Riddell, and Ross, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Wade Butler, who is here with us today. He is the Director of Business Development at National On Demand. Where are you, sir? Right over here on the left. Good to have you with us today. Also, we're honored today to have with us a number of volunteers from around the state who are here on behalf of the Convention of States. Would y'all please stand so we can welcome you as well? Thanks for being with us today. On motion of the gentleman from Stanley, Representative Sasser, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to a group of students from Locust Elementary School. Would y'all please stand so we can welcome you? Here we go. Good to have y'all here with us today. On motion of the gentleman from Lenoir County, Representative Humphrey, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Marianne LeRae, Holly and Kate Ladner, who are all from Jones County and are with the filling station of Pollocksville, North Carolina. Would y'all please stand so we can welcome you? Back over here in the back. Also on behalf of Representative Humphrey, we have Bridget Rouse here with us, who is here with the Kinston National Association. Where are you, Ms. Rouse? Also right there as well. Good to see you with us. Also on motion of the gentleman from Harnett, Representative Pike, Chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to a number of folks visiting from Calvary Church in Olivia, North Carolina. Would y'all please stand so we can welcome you back all around here. Thanks for being with us today. The lady from Wake, Representative Cervania, is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege. Members may take their seats. I believe the lady has submitted a representative statement. That representative statement will be read in its entirety upon our adjournment today and spread upon the journal. And the lady at this time has the floor to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Having submitted a representative statement with the clerk, I ask that it be read in its entirety upon adjournment and spread across the journal and like to be recognized to speak on this statement as you have. Thank you very much. I'd like to inform you and in our body here that there's been a tragedy abroad that has directly affected our community at home. On February 6th, two earthquakes rocked the region of southern Turkey and the border of northwest Syria. These two earthquakes registered an enormous magnitude of 7.8 and 7.6 on the Richter scale. The region has experienced over 11,000 aftershocks in the following weeks, one of which was 6.4 in magnitude. The death toll in the region has reached 51,000 lives and injured more than 108 people. And it's displaced 1.9 million people in the area, creating a staggering humanitarian and refugee crisis with many families living in tent cities, container housing, and having to leave homes that they grew up in. It will take years for people in those two countries to try to rebuild their lives, but the loss of family and friends will never leave the minds of those who are affected. We must honor those who have lost their lives in this tragedy and support them as much as possible. This tragedy, as I said, has happened abroad, but it's affected people in our community. In my community directly, this tragedy has struck a Turkish family that owns a well-known established community restaurant in downtown Cary, the Bulbul family, owners of Bosphorus Restaurant. I had the pleasure to speak with the Bulbul family in regards to the loss of several of their family members during this time. And I want to honor those names who have tragically lost their lives. Nazrin Kafadar, Hira Dormos, Hatice and Ali Orzashi, Kurzat Mutlu Kurçlu, Haji Mehmet, Ashe Umer and Serap Horshitugul, Baskat Karakosa, Isra Mustafa and Beya Kaptanugul. May their names forever be remembered. So in response to this tragedy that has personally struck the Bulbul family, they partner with the American Turkish Association of North Carolina to raise money for those who have been devastated by these earthquakes. The association started in Karamanmalash relief effort, which has collected money and at this point $2 to $3 million have I heard, to purchase things like medical supplies, sleeping bags, tents, and prosthetics that are in dire need in this region. And it's not enough. This family, in the face of tragedy, has banded together to try to best help those who have been devastated. And I want to say that they've been an inspiration to many in the community. Thank you for what you've done to raise money and to help victims of this tragedy. And I hope this body and everyone in the Triangle in North Carolina will help support you and the people who've been stricken by this tragedy. Thank you so much, Speaker.
Thank you, Representative Savannah. And on motion of Representative Savannah, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Apron Bibule and Oguz Outbibule, the owners of the renowned Bosporus Restaurant in Cary, North Carolina, as well as two members with them today from the American Turkish Association of North Carolina. They are Faizan Bazal and Simra Tariq. Would y'all please stand so we could welcome you as well? Right over here on the right. Thanks for being with us today. Calendar, Senate Bill 5, Corker Reed.
Representative Paré, House Bill 5, a bill to be entitled an act to remove certain described property from the corporate limits of the town of Fuquay, Virginia. General Assembly of the North Carolina Annex.
Anybody wish to debate the bill? If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Bill 5 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed to vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Hall wish to vote. Destin Hall wish to vote on the bill. Hall, aye. Clerk Watt, machine record the vote. 116 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. House Bill 5 passed the second reading. Remains on the counter. House Bill 57, the clerk will read.
Representative Balcom, House Bill 57, a bill to be entitled an act to amend the charter of the city of Hendersonville to allow the city to use proceeds from the on-street parking meter in the same manner in which the proceeds from off-street parking facilities are used. General Assembly of North Carolina Annex.
Anybody wish to debate the bill? Seeing none, question for the House. Passage of House Bill 57 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed to vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk will machine record the vote. 116 having voted in the affirmative, none of the negative. House Bill 57 passed the second reading. Remains on the counter. Mr. Court members, Chair directs House Bill 66, which is the next local bill, be returned to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. House Bill 152, the clerk will read.
Representative Humphrey, House Bill 152, a bill to be entitled an act to provide that regular principal election of the town of Maysville and Pollardsville shall be held in even number of years. General Assembly of the North Carolina Annex.
Any discussion, debate on the bill? Seeing none, question for the House. Passage of House Bill 152 on second reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 152, having passed second reading, will, without objection, be read a third time.
General Assembly of the North Carolina Annex.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 152 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 152, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 11, Corker Reed.
Representatives Blackwell, Fontenot, Poré, and Wheatley, House Bill 11, a bill to be entitled an act to provide that the Eastern North Carolina School for the Deaf and the North Carolina School for the Deaf and the Governor Moorhead School for the Blind or govern the Board of Trustees and to provide for the duties of the Board to admissions process for school of the deaf and the blind. General Assembly of North Carolina Annex.
Chairman from Burke, Representative Blackwell, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As the clerk just indicated, there are three schools in North Carolina with these special programs, two for the deaf, one for the blind, one in Wilson, the Eastern School for the Deaf, one in Morganton, the North Carolina School for the Deaf, and then the Governor Moorhead School for the Blind, which is here in the Raleigh area. Currently, these three schools are under the State Board of Education's jurisdiction, but they are essentially governed and run out of Raleigh by the Department of Public Instruction. The department has agreed with this legislation that we should change the manner in which these are governed. They would still be subject to the supervision of the State Board of Education. They would be administratively housed in the Department of Public Instruction, but we would have local boards that would actually be responsible for the governance and operation of each school. That would be similar to the way a local school board operates. The idea here is that we want to improve the quality of education that our deaf and blind students are receiving. We all know the old adage that if you, I'm not going to quote it exactly, but the idea is that if you want to get a better result or a different result, which we hope is better, you have to change something. This is an effort to do that for our deaf students and blind students in North Carolina. I hope you'll support the bill. I'm pleased to have DPI's support. Glad to answer any questions.
For what purpose, the lady from Buncombe, Representative Prather, rise.
To debate the bill.
Lady has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I speak on this bill as a former special education teacher in North Carolina public schools, and I have three major concerns. First, I believe after speaking with lawyers and other stakeholders in the state that this bill violates federal disability law. It would make it easier for these schools to refuse services to students who are legally entitled to those services. Second, we have concerns about employment protections for teachers and staff at these institutions. Third, I'm very concerned about the provisions in the bill that change the governing structure of these institutions. These schools were specifically established to serve students across the entire state, and therefore it's appropriate that they continue to be governed by a statewide nonpartisan board with the local advisory board as they are now, instead of a local politicized board. Therefore, I ask my colleagues to vote no on this bill. Thank you.
For what purpose, gentleman from Wilson, Representative Fontenot, rise.
Speak to the bill.
The gentleman has the floor.
In our nation, teachers do not enter the classroom for money, prestige, or honor. All three are lacking. Rather, our teachers teach, our administrators lead, because they believe in children. That being said, the one thing that should never be lacking for our educators and our administrators should be every ounce of support that we can muster. There are many things we as a body cannot do for our administrators and educators, but there are many things we can do. And one of the things we can do at a minimum, a very minimum, is look at regulations that are not serving their purpose, that are not good for children or educators. Furthermore, when we look at those regulations, we must and we should take the very word of those who are carrying these out. The last time I checked, I work in Raleigh. I do not work for the School of the Deaf. I have never worked at the School for the Deaf. However, when we talk to the School for the Deaf, their word should be gospel in what is working and what is not working. When I look at this situation at the School for the Deaf and Blind, one thing is clear. What we are currently doing is not serving its purpose. While it may have had good intentions at the time, let it be known it is ineffective now. As I look at HB 11, I can confidently say to my colleagues, I know this bill will do what it's supposed to for several reasons. First, this bill was built painstakingly along the way with those who would be carrying it out. That is the Department of Public Instruction and the administrators and the leaders at the Schools for the Deaf and the Blind. Furthermore, this bill was crafted with the only living educator and administrator who worked for both Schools for the Deaf and the School for the Blind, Mr. Gary Farmer. I say all that to say, ladies and gentlemen, our nation's education system is in a crisis, and that is obvious. Every last one of us in this room say we support educators and students. It is time for us to take bold action that says that we do those things. As my colleague indicated, if we do what we've always done, we will keep getting what we've always got. Insanity is doing the same thing and expecting a different result. I support this bill because I know from those that are carrying out that it will do what we think should be done, what they think there should be done. And I will fight for my teachers and educators who are entering those classrooms every day because they tell me they want this, they should have this. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question for the House. Question's been put, but I will go ahead and ask, for what purpose, gentleman from Wake, Representative Jones, rise.
I just had a couple, three questions I'd like to ask Mr. Wonkin.
To Representative Fontenot?
If I may.
Representative Fontenot, is gentleman yield?
I just want to know, how long has this bill been in the making?
HB 11, this is the second or third iteration. It had passed in previous sessions, was vetoed the last time it came by. And this iteration, we actually, again, went through the process and also continued to include the stakeholders. So, to my knowledge, a little bit over 4 years.
Thank you. Further discussion or debate? If not, question for the House. Passage of House Bill 11 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 71 having voted in the affirmative, 45 in the negative. House Bill 11 passed the second reading without objection. You're at a third time.
Joseph is not climbing next.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 11 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Ayes appear to have it. Ayes do have it. The House Bill 11 having passed third reading will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 60. Clerk will read.
Representatives Vidal, Kidwell, Fontenot, and Moss, House Bill 60, a bill to be entitled An Act Creating the Shannon Lee Adcock, Seven Anthony Christos, and Samantha Davis Memorial Act to establish the second week of November for SUPED Awareness Week in the state of North Carolina and to recommend awareness of training and school personnel responsible for students with epilepsy or otherwise predisposed to seizures. General Service, no plan is next.
Gentleman from Almatz, Representative Riddell, recognized to speak to the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Friends, what you have before you is a bill that's been before this body at least two other times. It does two things. It establishes the second week in November, November happening to be National Epilepsy Awareness Month, establishes the second week in November as SUDEP Awareness Month. SUDEP stands for Sudden Unexpected Death in Epilepsy. And then it also has a second component that encourages our schools to do training and awareness of seizures control in our schools. So I'd appreciate your green vote.
Further discussion, further debate, not the question for the House. Passage of House Bill 60 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk, open the vote.
Excuse me, Mr. Speaker, my computer is locked. Can you give me just a minute?
The lady can still vote. It's open. Do you remember wish to vote?
Yes.
Press a button. Is the lady's button working? Voting button? Is the green or red one? Is it not working? Is it working? Okay. There's a warrant on the floor. Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 115 have voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. House Bill 60 passed the second reading without objection. You're read a third time.
General Assembly, no comment and acts.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 60 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 60 having passed third reading. Bill will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 89. Clerk will read.
Representatives Hollister, Lambert, Zinger, and White. House Bill 89, a bill to be entitled an act to adopt the Moravian cookie and the Moravian star as official state cookie and star. General Assembly, no comment and acts.
Gentleman from Guilford, Representative Hollister, recognize debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, this is the bill that you've all been waiting for. This would designate the Moravian cookie as the official state cookie and the Moravian star as the official state star. As you know, we have several state symbols like the dogwood, the cardinal, plothound, and so forth. This would basically honor the cultural and economic impact that Moravians have had on the state of North Carolina. I've got to thank Representative Donnie Lambeth for helping with this effort and Representative Donna White, I have to give her a shout out. I think adding the Moravian Star was actually her idea. And also, Representative Ashley Clemens, her and I worked on this a few years ago. The bill passed the House, didn't quite make it in the Senate, and we're going to try again. But I do have to say, I know we have several school groups with us today. This idea actually came from a fourth grade class in Guilford County at Brooks Global Studies. They'd written us several letters to members of the Guilford delegation with this idea, and I read through it, and the letters are very well written, and they talked about how these Moravian cookies are manufactured in mass quantity, and they're distributed across the world, and the economic impact that they have. And, you know, I thought that was compelling. And so we actually did pass this bill without the Moravian Star portion, just the Moravian cookie portion. Didn't quite make it through the Senate. I don't know what happened over there, but we're hoping to get it through the House today and eventually through the Senate. And I hope this bill doesn't crumble. So with that, I will yield the floor and ask for your support. Thank you.
What purpose, gentleman from Beaufort, Representative Kidwell, rise.
A question of the bill sponsor, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Harris, the gentleman yield.
With great trepidation, I do yield.
He yields.
Well, seeing that we had Freedom Caucus and had to come straight over here, Representative Harder, sir, we didn't get an opportunity. Most of us go to lunch, and I I'm a guy that likes to eat lunch. Did you happen to bring some samples of these cookies that we might try them before we vote?
Yes, Representative Kidwell. Matter of fact, I'm glad you mentioned that. We do have several samples here from a bakery in Winston-Salem. And if it's not out of order, Mr. Speaker, I would maybe ask if a House page could come forward, approach the desk over here, and maybe bring some of these cookies to the back of the chamber. Everybody's welcome to them, members, staff, and pages as well.
Speak on the bill, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you for bringing this forward, Representative Hardister. I would add to this that these cookies happen to be one of my wife's favorites, and I'm kind of fond of them myself. So I encourage you all to vote green on the bill.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Mecklenburg, Representative Alexander, rise.
To ask the bill sponsor a question.
Representative Harster, gentlemen, yield.
Absolutely.
He is.
Representative, what do you have against chocolate chip cookies?
You know, that's a great question. I have absolutely nothing against chocolate chip cookies, and that could be another symbol of the state. We could have the official chocolate chip cookie. I'm happy to work with you on that as well.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Union, Representative Willis, rise.
Question for the minority leader.
For who?
For the minority leader.
Representative Reese, gentlemen, yield.
No, sir.
I see three lights, but in the discretion of the chair, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 89 on its second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk Light Machine record the vote. 114 having voted in the affirmative, 9 in the negative. House Bill 89 passed the second reading without objection. Be read a third time. Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 89 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Ayes have it. House Bill 89, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 103, the clerk will read.
Representative Davis, House Bill 103, a bill to be entitled an act to make technical corrections to the General Statutes of Session Law and to recommend by the General Statutes Commission. General Senator Law Conrad.
Gentlemen from New Hanover, Representative Davis, recognize, debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, every year the General Statutes Commission has a technical correction bill that we offer. This is the one we're doing for 2023. It contains corrections of a technical nature to the general statutes and session laws. It does no way have anything in it of any policy nature. I'd ask for your support. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House, passage of House Bill 103 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, the vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Davis wish to vote on the bill. Clerk will wipe machine, record the vote. 115 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. House Bill 103 passed the second reading without objection. Be read a third time.
General Assembly, no claim in act.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 103 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 103 having passed third reading will be sent to the Senate. Members, a couple of other recognitions before we move on to our next bill. First, the students who we, the school group from Revolution Academy in Summerfield in Guilford County, they are here now. Would y'all please stand so we could welcome you? Thanks for being with us today. Also on motion of the gentleman from Beaufort, Representative Kidwell, Chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Jackie Van Essendelt, Sue Slager, and Wayne Slager. Would y'all please stand so we could welcome y'all? Back here in the back. We will be introducing our pages in a little bit, but I did want to recognize an honorary page who's here with us today on behalf of Representative Miller, James Kilty, who is here serving as an honorary page and shadowing him. Mr. Kilty, thanks for being with us today. Glad to have you with us today. House Bill 104, Clerk will read.
Representative Davis, House Bill 104, a bill to be entitled an act to enact Article 3 of the Uniform Unregulated Child Custody Transfer Act, as recommended by the General Statutes Commission, General Assembly, no claiming acts.
Gentleman from New Hanover, Representative Davis, is recognized to speak to the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, this is another bill recommended by the General Statutes Commission, which would enact Article 3 of the Uniform Unregulated Child Custody Transfer Act. The purpose of this bill is to prevent unlawful transfers of custody of minors by better preparing adoptive parents for issues that may arise when caring for certain adopted minors. It requires adoption agencies to provide all of the following to prospective adoptive parents of minors who fall within the scope of the bill: general information about adoption, specific information about the minor, guidance and instruction on effectively meeting the needs of the minor, and after placement for adoption, information about financial assistance and support services. The bill would give the Department of Health and Human Services authority to enforce these new provisions. The General Statutes Commission circulated a draft of this bill to the Administrative Office of the Courts, Department of Health and Human Services, Department of Justice, UNC School of Government, North Carolina Bar Association, Conference of Clerks of Superior Court, North Carolina Advocates for Justice, and the North Carolina Justice Center, and there's no known opposition to the bill. I ask for your support. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? Not the question for the House. Passage of House Bill 104 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock machine, record the vote. 115 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. House Bill 104 passed the second reading without objection. Be read a third time.
General Assembly, no claim in act.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 104 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 104 having passed third reading will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 119, Clerk will read.
Representatives Pless, Stevens, Bell, and Brenda Jones. House Bill 119, a bill to be entitled an act increasing the informal bid threshold for contractors for construction of repair of related or disaster recovery undertaken by the North Carolina Office of Recovery and Resiliency. General Assembly, North Carolina acts.
Gentleman from Haywood, Representative Pless, recognize debate the bill.
Hello, everyone. Part of oversight for the House of Representatives is we look at issues and we look at ways of making things better. And this is one of these bills that is to make things move a lot smoother. What we found in disaster oversight for Matthew and Florence is the folks down there and the recovery efforts are slowed down because of the way our current laws are written. Anything over $30,000 has to be bid in order for them to put these folks back together. So what we've done here is, in conversation with NCOR, the Oversight Committee, we found out that HUD will allow them to go to $250,000, which is a little bit more reasonable for replacing these homes. That's what this bill is going to do. It's going to allow them the authority to go to that amount and not have to do the bid process that they normally would have to comply with. I ask for your vote.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House, passage of House Bill 119 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk Lock Machine record the vote. 114 having voted in the affirmative, one the negative. House Bill 119 passed the second reading without objection. You read a third time.
General no climate act.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 119 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Ayes have it. House Bill 119 having passed third reading will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 131. Clerk will read.
Representatives Elmore and Destinall and Winslow. House Bill 131, a bill to be entitled an act to increase protection of funds held by North Carolina Education Savings and Investment Accounts and the NC ABLE accounts for claims and creditors and other judgments. General Assembly, North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Wilkes, Representative Elmore, recognize, debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. What this bill will do is create financial protections against liens, garnishments, and other judgments dealing with our state-sponsored 529 accounts and also our state-sponsored NC ABLE accounts, which help folks if they have children with severe disabilities. This will align us with 22 other states and also with the protections in South Carolina, Tennessee, and Virginia. I'd appreciate your support on the bill.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House, the passage of House Bill 131 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Willis wish to vote. Representative Staten Williams wish to vote. Clerk Lock Machine record the vote. 115 having voted in the affirmative, none the negative. House Bill 131 passed the second reading without objection. Be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 131 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 131 having passed third reading. Bill is sent to the Senate. On motion of Representative Howard of Davie County, Chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to a group of fourth grade students from Cornatzer Elementary in Davie County. Would y'all please stand so we could welcome you? Right up here on the right. See y'all today. House Joint Resolution 175. The clerk will read.
Representative Pirtle, House Joint Resolution 175, a joint resolution confirming the governor's appointment of Aaron G. Wilson, Jr. as a special superior court judge. The House resolved, Senate concurring.
Gentleman from Rockingham, Representative Pirtle, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, this is a joint resolution confirming the appointment of Edward G. Wilson, Jr. as special superior court judge. This was created with the retirement of the Honorable Athena Fox Brooks at the end of the year. This is a five-year term. Judge Wilson started practicing law in the early 90s. He was elected to the Superior Court bench in 2003, and in 2005 till 2022, he was a senior Superior Court judge in Rockingham County. After 9/11, he joined the Army Reserve and serves as a judge advocate general until through today. He is well respected throughout Rockingham County and in the courthouse of Rockingham County. I ask for a yes vote. Thank you very much.
Further discussion, further debate. Not the question for the House. Passage of House Joint Resolution 175. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock machine, record the vote. 116 having voted in the affirmative, none of the negative. House Joint Resolution 175 passed the second reading without objection. Will be read a third time.
The House resolves, Senate concurring.
Question for the House. Passage of House Joint Resolution 175 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Joint Resolution 175 have passed third reading. It will be sent to the Senate. Members, on motion of the member from Cabarrus County, Representative Staten Williams, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to a number of social workers who are here today for Social Worker Advocacy Day, as today starts the National Social Worker Month. Would y'all please join me in welcoming these guests who are with us today? Would y'all please stand if you're a social worker? And Representative Staten Williams is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege on that matter as well.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Sorry about that, you guys. This month, today, March 2023, marks National Social Work Month. I am someone who has worked with a number of social workers throughout my career as a nurse and know how valuable social workers are to our children, to our families, and to the community. So, please make sure that you thank a social worker. They are out here breaking barriers every day to help the community. Thank you.
I'd ask our pages to please come forward. While they're making their way here, I notice and announcements. What purpose, gentlemen from Guilford? Representative Harris to rise.
For two announcements.
Gentleman has four.
Tomorrow, House Education Appropriations will meet at 8:30 a.m. in room 423. We will listen to a presentation from the State Board of Education, DPI, the Community College System, and the University of North Carolina. The second announcement is House Education Universities will meet tomorrow at 10 a.m. in room 423. We will consider House Bill 113 and House Bill 96.
What purpose lay from Cumberland? Representative Jackson, rise.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Having submitted a representative statement with the clerk, I ask that it be read in its entirety upon adjournment and spread across the journal, and would like to be recognized to speak to the statement.
The so ordered, and the lady has the floor to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, sir. Today I'd like to stand and congratulate my pastor, who will be celebrating 50 years as a pastor this month. He started ministering at the age of 12. Our church is along Murchison Road, and those of you who know, it is the entrance corridor into our city, and it, as a result of his service to the community, our community has been transformed. We built a $11 million facility church in the community, and we paid it off within 5 years. So having he lived in the community in a housing subdivision known as Rosemary, he has changed the community, and I just want to say thank you. 50 years of pastoring and 33 years at our church on Murchison Road. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Members, we have a great group of pages who have been here with us this week working very diligently. They've worked in the committees primarily this week and, of course, now today for session, and they've done an amazing job. For our pages, I want to make sure that we recognize each of you individually. So when the clerk calls your name, if you would step forward so that my colleagues and I will know who each of you are. The clerk will introduce pages.
Serenity Barnes, Halifax County. Sponsor, Speaker Moore. Sean Blackwell, Durham County. Sponsor, Speaker Moore. Taylor Bond, Durham County. Sponsor, Speaker Moore. Todd Bond, Durham County. Sponsor, Speaker Moore. Catherine Brewer, Wake County. Sponsor Representative Judy Von Haven, Lillian Burton, Orange County. Sponsor Speaker Moore, Ava Cabell, Guilford County. Sponsor Speaker Moore, Ashton Charles, Wake County. Sponsor Speaker Moore, Ellis Charles, Wake County. Sponsor Speaker Moore, Cameron Cooper, Guilford County. Sponsor Speaker Moore, Lashley French, Forsyth County. Sponsor Speaker Moore, Hayden Milner, Guilford County. Sponsor Speaker Moore, Noel Milner, Guilford County. Sponsor Speaker Moore, Ella Moffitt, Brunswick County. Sponsor Representative Charles Miller, Kennedy Perry, Durham County. Sponsor Speaker Moore, Littery Ussery, Bladen County. Representative Cal Hall. Sponsor.
Members, I mentioned we have a great group of pages with us this week. If you would please join me in welcoming and thanking our pages. You may return to your post. For what purpose does the gentleman from Duplin, Representative Dixon, rise?
For an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, next Wednesday at 1 p.m., the House Committee on Agriculture will meet in room 643. Commissioner Steve Troxler and his staff will come and give the House Committee on Agriculture an update on the current economics of agriculture in North Carolina. We certainly would welcome any members of the House to come and sit in on that presentation next Wednesday, 1 p.m., 6:43. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Sir. For what purpose does the gentleman from Davidson, Representative Potts, rise?
For an announcement.
The gentleman has four.
The joint HHS appropriations will meet in the morning at 8:30 in room 643. Thank you.
For what purpose does the lady from Wake, Representative Von Haven, rise?
Mr. Speaker, having submitted a representative statement with the clerk, I ask that it be read upon adjournment and be spread across the journal and would like to be recognized to speak to the statement.
So ordered. The lady has the floor to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today I'd like to recognize my own town and the town that I represent here in the House, the town of Apex. Yesterday, Apex marked the 150th anniversary of its original incorporation. Apex's roots stretch back to the founding of the Christian Home Church in 1866. The Chatham Railroad's completion in 1868 connected Raleigh and Moncure and placed Apex's depot at an ideal cooling location for trains at the apex of the grade, which is what gave the town its name. On February 28, 1873, the one-mile square town of Apex was incorporated by an act of the General Assembly. In 1900, Apex had an estimated population of 379. It grew to 5,000 by 1990, but just 10 years later, Apex's population flourished to 20,000. In 2015, Money Magazine named Apex the best place to live nationwide in its annual ranking of small towns based on its solid job opportunities, excellent schools, low crime, quality health care, and activities. Today, an estimated 75,000 citizens are preparing for a year-long celebration to commemorate Apex's 150-year-long history. I've called Apex my home for almost 19 years, and I'm honored to represent the people of Apex in my district. I hope that you'll join me by celebrating the 150th anniversary of Apex being the peak of good living. Thank you.
Thank you. For what purpose does the gentleman from Polk, Representative Johnson, rise?
For two announcements.
Gentleman has four.
First announcement, the inaugural meeting of the House Oversight and Reform Committee will be tomorrow, 10 a.m. in the auditorium. The next Wednesday, the IT Appropriations Committee meeting will be 10 a.m., room 423. Be on the lookout for an email. Thank you.
For what purpose, the lady from Cumberland, Representative Jackson, rise.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the body, I'd like to make a correction.
I failed to say the name of my pastor. His name is William T. Ford, Sr., and the name of our church is Kingdom Impact Global Ministries. Thank you, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. For what purpose, Jim, from Chatham, Representative Reeves, rise?
To not bring up my pastor, but good job. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representatives, I would like to take this opportunity to announce the formation of the North Carolina Legislative Caucus on Economic Development and Foreign Trade. The mission statement of the caucus is to build enduring relationships with foreign countries and businesses for the purpose of facilitating intercultural exchange and international trade, to find markets for North Carolina products, and to encourage economic development and foreign direct investment in our communities for the purposes of stimulating manufacturing and increased economic prosperity and standards of living in our state. Leader Bell and I will serve as co-chairs. We look forward to working together and to make our state a better place to do business and a better place to live. Thank you to all that were able to come to the inaugural meeting. We welcome anyone that wants to join and come, and we really appreciate the opportunity to do this. Thank you.
Sir, thank you. For what purpose does the gentleman from Forsyth, Representative Lambeth, rise?
For an announcement.
Gentleman has the floor.
In the morning, 11 o'clock, room 643, all the area chairs, full chairs, will meet on appropriations to get your schedule, your targets, so that we can keep this process moving forward. We do not anticipate it to last that long, so we should be able to get you out of town fairly early tomorrow, but please be there for that meeting. It's very important.
Members, it does appear that tomorrow the only votes that we would otherwise be having would be the third readings of the bills that rolled over from today. So the chair is going to go ahead and calendar those for Tuesday session. However, we encourage members to please attend the committee meetings that are scheduled. Those are very important meetings tomorrow, and they will be dealing with bills that we will be taking up next week. So, it does not appear we will have the need for a voting session tomorrow. So this will be our only voting session. Just another reminder, Monday evening, the governor will be here for the State of the State address. So we will have a Monday evening session. We will convene at 6 p.m. And then, I think the speech starts at 6:45, if I'm not mistaken. 7:01. So 6:45, we'll try to have everyone in their seats ready to go. So we'll take care of a few administrative matters earlier there too. Any further notices or announcements? Seeing no further notices or announcements or business to come before the body, the gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, recognize our motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House do now adjourn to reconvene Thursday, March 2nd at 10:30 a.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1.
Representative Hall moves, seconded by Representative Bell, that the House do now adjourn to reconvene Thursday, March 2nd at 10:30 a.m., subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The House stands adjourned.
Representative Stevens is recognized to send forth the Judiciary 2 Committee Report, House Bill 44, Constitutional Amendment, Repeal, Literacy Test, Favorable Committee Substitute, Unfavorable Original Bill, and Re-Referred Original Bill, placed on the Favorable Calendar, Rest Committee Substitute, House Bill 44, Referred to Committee on Rules, House Bill 116, Modify Laws Affecting District Attorneys, Favorable Committee Sub, Unfavorable Original Bill, Re-Referred Original Bill, Unfavorable Calendar, Committee Substitute, House 116, Referred to Appropriations, House Bill 125, Safe Surrender Infants, Favorable Com Sub, Unfavorable Original Bill, Re-Referred Original Bill, placed on the Unfavorable Calendar, Committee Sub, House Bill 125, referred to Committee on Rules, House Bill 148, Civilian Traffic Investigators, favorable committee sub, unfavorable original bill and re-referred original bill placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas committee sub, House Bill 140, referred to the Committee on Rules, Counter Operations of the House. On motion of the Chair, House Bill 142, Protect Our Students Act, which is an agency bill. The C referral to the Committee on Rules is stricken. A C referral to the Committee on Pensions and subsequent referral to Rules are added to that bill, and the bill remains in the Judiciary 2 Committee room. Reading of representative statements, three of them. A representative statement congratulating the town of Apex on its 150th anniversary, whereas the town of Apex located in Wake County grew from the establishment of the Christian Home Church, which was founded in 1886 and the completion of the Chatham Railroad in 1868 and a 31-mile track from Raleigh to Haywood, now Moncure, positioned Apex Depot as the cooling location for the trains at the Apex at the grade, giving the town its name, and whereas the town of Apex was incorporated by the Act of the General Assembly on February 28, 1873, and whereas Apex First Town Hall, constructed in 1912, the facility housed mayor, public safety, a jail, a local court, an open market, trading center, and an opera house, the original town hall serves as Apex community as the Hall Cultural Arts Center, and whereas at that time of incorporation, Apex was a one-mile square. In 1960, the town expanded its town limits for the first time with two annexations adding 800 acres. And whereas at the turn of the century, Apex had a population of approximately 349. By 1990, the population had grown to 5,000. And today, the number is estimated at 75,000. And whereas in 2015, Money Magazine named Apex as the best place to live in its ranking of small towns. And whereas this year ranks the town of Apex 150th anniversary, and its citizens have been actively preparing for a year-long celebration to commemorate Apex's sesquicentennial anniversary. Now, therefore, it is fitting to congratulate the citizens of the town of Apex on the town's 150th anniversary and to join its citizens in observing the historic occasion. A witness whereof the undersigned certifies the foregoing statement was read in the House and placed upon the journal on this first day of March 2023, submitted to Representative Julie Von Hafen, tested House Principal Clerk. A representative statement honoring those who lost their lives in the earthquakes in Turkey and Syria on February 6, 2023, earthquakes registering magnitudes of 7.8 and 7.6 struck southeast Turkey and northwest Syria, resulting in nearly 50,000 deaths, countless injuries, and the destruction or damage of thousands of buildings in the region. And whereas earthquakes destroyed businesses and infrastructures and left millions of people temporarily homeless, and whereas during the following weeks more than 1,000 aftershocks have hit the region, earthquakes registering 6.3 on February 20th and 5.2 on February 27th struck Turkey, causing additional devastation, injuries, and loss of life. And whereas immediately after the earthquakes, the American Turkish Association of North Carolina began raising funds and collecting donations for supplies to send to Turkey. And whereas many North Carolinians were directly affected by the earthquakes, including Alperen Bulbul, owner of Bosphorus Restaurant located in Kearney, who lost several family members as a result of the earthquake. Now, therefore, it is fitting to honor those who lost their lives as a result of the deadly earthquakes that hit Turkey and Syria, and to encourage North Carolinians to join the efforts to support the victim of these earthquakes. And witness whereof the undersigned certifies that the foregoing statement was read in the House and placed upon the journal on this first day of March 2023, submitted to Representative Cervania, attested to House Principal Clerk. A representative statement honoring William T. Ford, Sr. on his 50th anniversary as a pastor, whereas William T. Ford, Sr., a native Fayetteville, North Carolina, has been pastor for 50 years and is currently serves as pastor of Kingdom Impact Global Ministry, and whereas William T. Ford, Sr. began preaching at the age of 12 after having received his spiritual guidance from his mother, the late evangelist Corrine Ford, and former pastor and late Bishop E.A. Jackson, while a member of the Free Will Baptist denomination, and whereas William T. Ford, Sr. received a B.A. degree from Christian Counseling and Calvary Theological Seminary in Lake Charles, Louisiana, and a Master's of Arts degree in Christian Clinical Counseling from Cornerstone Bible College in Lake Charles, Louisiana. He is also a member of the National Christian Counselors Association, whereas William T. Ford, Sr. delivers a sermon every Sunday at 4 p.m. on WIDU AM, and whereas William T. Ford, Sr. is the author of a book entitled Preserving the Body, and whereas William T. Ford, Sr. lives in the town of Rayford, and his wife, Glendora Ford, they are parents of three adult children and one grandson. Now, therefore, it is fitting to congratulate William T. Ford, Sr. for his dedication to serving his congregation for teaching to the Word of God for 50 years. In witness whereof the undersigned certifies the foregoing statement was read in the House and placed upon the journal on this first day of March 2023, submitted to Representative Francis Jackson, Ph.D., attested to House Principal Clerk.